This week on The Edge, Google Search Console brings back request indexing tool. Yes! Why do you see portions of your site go up or down after an algorithm update, and brand reputation and the impact on Google SERP selections? This is the last digital marketing and SEO news of 2020. You're listening to News on The Edge, Edge of the Web Radio.
From the Edge of the Web studios, here's what we're looking at this week.
All right, this is Edge of the Web Radio. I'm your host, Aaron Sparks of Site Strategics. Every week, we bring you amazing guests to chat about digital marketing trends and SEO techniques to be able to increase your digital visibility online. Each week, we cover SEO and digital marketing news separate from our weekly interview on getting more news to you even more quickly into your podcast platform of choice. So be sure to check out all the recent shows over at edgeofthewebradio.com. That's edgeofthewebradio.com. We've got all our blog posts, all of our videos, all our audio, and you can find out where we are on social all there in one spot. So check that out if you would. Welcome to the Site Strategics Digital Marketing Desk of Edge of the Web. Joining me this week to get his take on the last week of news for 2020 is the infallible Morty Oberstein, SEO liaison of Wix. How you doing, sir?
I can't talk. I have a cold. This is great for a podcast.
Great for a podcast. Exactly.
This is right. That's exactly what you were looking for. You were really probably hoping, like, I hope Morty comes on and says he can't talk.
Can you imagine? He just shows
That's
up.
How my wife feels every day.
Well, do you give her a mute button, though? I mean, the best thing in the world is literally, is we got deaf. Morty.
I'm joking.
God!
She wishes she were.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, started this off great.
Anyway, we can cut that out. All right, so Morty, evidently he is fallible as opposed to what I introduced him with. Morty, what's happening in Morty's world besides you not coming down with COVID right now, right?
Right. No. It's a cold. My kids had a cold. I know it's a cold. I don't have COVID. My wife's getting the vaccine tomorrow.
That's fantastic. We're also going to send her a mute button just for the show.
She doesn't listen to this show.
My family doesn't either.
Do this SEO stuff. What's that weird stuff you do?
I know. My kids said, you talk all about CEO, right? Oh, God. All right.
Close enough.
I told them, literally, I start putting Easter eggs in the shows that if you listen and listen for this particular word, you're going to get your allowance.
That's great.
Yeah, just trying to get those listener rates up.
So you're five.
So everything going okay otherwise?
Yeah. You? How are you?
Good. We're shaking off the fugue of a few too many steaks and a few too many bourbons over this particular holiday season.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. You know, very amazing.
It was enjoyable. And this was actually supposed to be the light Christmas because we didn't have anybody coming in from out of town. So we decided to just dig in and go hog wild.
Get drunk.
Yeah, for the most part.
Right.
I'll take that and run with it. Of course, the wife is the Sherpa at the home, so she absolutely was not partaking.
Of course not.
Of course.
God bless her. Someone has to be sane and sober.
Well, I mean, we're not driving anywhere, so, you know, Katie bar the door.
Hey, toka party. Let's do it.
All right. Article number one comes from the Barry Schwartz over at Search Engine Land. Google Search Console brings back the request indexing tool after 69 days. It was actually disabled October 14th, 2020, and it was expected to come back before the holiday shopping season. We've got our indexing back. Morty, what do you think?
Hold on. I'm still a little choked up. By the way, so like, I know it's great. Everybody, we got the indexing tool back.
Yep.
But I kind of feel like there's a delay. Like I had a page I need to request an indexing from, and it's still, I submitted it.
Oh, no.
I think they're backed up. I don't think it's going as quickly as you might think
I bet they are. It's a heck of a lot of indexing. Maybe they need to ration this out.
A cruel joke. They brought it back and it doesn't do anything.
They could probably do that as just another twist of the knife, right?
No, but for real, like, people should be like, be careful or be cautious. Like, just because you resubmit something doesn't mean that it's going to be out tomorrow. They recrawl your site.
Right. No. I mean, be mindful. We should be rationed out our indexing requests, you know.
Right.
In fact, there is actually a rationing. You can only do so many re-indexes on a particular page over a 24-hour period of time, right? Something like that. We got some sort of rule in there. Yep. All right. So for all the SEOs in the house, which is a predominant portion of our audience, you know what? Go index until your heart's delight, and let's just clog the lanes until we're into March with re-indexing.
Yeah, no, really, like block your pages, have them crawl just so you can re-index.
It's gratifying, right? You had a tweet out there. You had a fantastic meme. Right. I don't know. You got like 200, 300 likes at some point.
Dude, I had this one page that like they haven't crawled since October 28, and I just I goofed. I was like playing around with something on my site to show somebody something, and that's when Google indexed it. And I blocked it with my robots.txt file, and I can see, you can check, right? If you block your robot, if you block Google crawling it with robots.txt,
yep,
you could see in Search Console if you're back on track now, and I am.
Woohoo!
But Google hasn't crawled the page since October 28th. So like when I had that resubmit button, I'm like, yes, until I realized, hey, it's been a week later and they still haven't recrawled it.
Right. So it could very well be a tease, as we explained to our audience last week, right?
Yeah, that, or they just hate my guts. But yeah.
So use it and use it wisely. Don't abuse it. Thank you, Google, for the tool back, because
thank you.
We needed it. We needed it greatly. Another article from Search Engine Land by Barry as well. Actually, this is Search Roundtable. Apologies. Why do you see portions of your site go up and down after algorithm updates? Well, Google's John Mueller said in a video hangout last week at the 37-minute mark that you can see parts and portions of your website go up or down after an algorithm update. So we're talking about different site areas of the site structure itself. Now, the reason for that is that some Google algorithms not only try to look at the bigger picture of the website, but also look at the smaller parts of the website as well. So I certainly don't want to quote the entire article over at Search Engine Roundtable, but it was a really good insight into how Google is actually compartmentalizing sections of your website, and certain algorithm updates are actually looking a little bit more micro, but looking at the related content as opposed to an individual page or the site domain as a whole, right?
Yeah. So, which that's, first off, I feel like when Google talks about the core algorithm updates, it's almost like a movie that hasn't come out yet, and you get like a little bit of snippet here and a little bit of a trailer here until you like, it's like, you know, whatever Star Wars movie is coming out, the fans try to pick it apart and figure out what the hell's actually going on.
Oh, we can have our deep voice guy do, in a world where your site has disappeared.
That would be great.
That would be pretty good.
That would be amazing. No, but it makes sense. Like, Google's not looking just at the page level. Like, hello, SEOs. Google's not just looking at pages in specific, but they confirm here, and they confirmed before, by the way, they're looking at the entire domain, and it makes sense. Like, and you see SEOs talk about this, oh, for all of these keywords I got killed, but for all of these keywords I stayed the same. And that kind of speaks to like a lot of the, you know, the big name SEOs who talk about algorithm updates, like Marie Haynes, Lily Ray, Morty Oberstein, people like that.
Holy crap.
Ooh, did
he just do that?
He just
name dropped himself. I'm sorry, Inception?
I meant Dr. Pete.
Jesus.
I meant Dr. Pete. I got my balding men confused. I meant Dr. Pete.
You can't name drop yourself. I mean, that's a foul. I'm going to call an audible on this. All right. And Dr. Pete.
Dr. Pete. Now I lost my train of thought. No. But the idea is that, like, Google's looking at whether or not things topically fit your site or not. So if, I don't know, like, horrible example, if you're an auto mechanic and you're writing about, I don't know, how to grow herbs in your garden, like, that doesn't make sense. Google's going to say, well, that your content might be great, but that doesn't really fit your site. So we're not going to rank you well for that. But where you talk about carburetors, which I don't think those exist anymore anyway, we're going to rank you well for that, because that's what car mechanics should talk about.
Well,
so
yeah,
like, Google is topically,
Now, this harkens back to even YMYL, where there's a lot of companies that were just throwing so much garbage into their blogs and site structure just to get lift on so much, and they got hit. If it was a non sequitur concept, right, then if it doesn't align with your main specialties, your main focus, why is that content there? And this is what they're doing into a small part. So you see this kind of concentric circles. Now you're looking at your site and your site structure. They're looking at it even more. And the passage indexing as well. Now they're looking at how you're writing, what you're writing about, and how much content in your site by and large, is dedicated to this subject, and does it align, right?
Yep. And that's my whole thing. Like, Google, in every way possible, whether it's passage indexing or it's how the SERP is structured or the algorithm updates, is trying to get you to write really specific content.
Yep.
So that sort of acquisition content where you write a couple of paragraphs and try to get them deeper into your site, this doesn't cut it anymore.
No, it doesn't. So, I mean, these algorithms, I mean, it's a good video, and John Mueller's always rolling out some great content. And again, Google's very responsive to questions now, and it's a great summation over at Search Engine Roundtable. But we should use this, again, in context, put all the pieces together. They're looking at your content. They're looking at how aligned it is to everything that you're talking about. And on top of the inbound factors, if you look at it and you see that some of that non sequitur content's not getting any type of link value, then there's something suspect there as well. So I think it's good to be able to see all the pieces that we can truly visibly see. That's exactly what Google's doing, is paying attention to the passages now and how they interlock and line. Good stuff. I tell you what is also good stuff, our continued sponsorship with Ahrefs. Ahrefs is a fantastic competitive analysis tool. Shows you how your competitors are getting their traffic from Google and why. You can see the pages, the content that send them the most search traffic, find out the exact keywords they're ranking for, and which backlinks are actually helping them rank. And you know what? You can also use this as analysis of what we were just talking about. Be able to see pockets of turns from your competitors, actually where they're losing ground. And that's a perfect opportunity to be able to take advantage if they weren't who they said they were in the Google Annals. If they're losing ground, jump in there. All right, so you can use ahrefs.com as one of your analysis tools on a regular basis. So go over to ahrefs.com. That's A, silent A, but I'm mentioning it, so it's not silent anymore. ahrefs.com. They have a special 7 days for $7. The entire slew of tool sets, their analysis tool, their link intercept tool, which is really cool, their link audit or their website audit tool, as well as the webmasters tool. Tool says all there available for you for 7 days for $7. So check that out at ahrefs.com. All right. Last article. And this one is due for some deep diving here. This is one of our more substantial articles that we've covered in the news in a long time. This is from J.R. Oakes over at Search Engine Land, Brand Reputation and Impact on Google SERP Selections. It's about how Google treats companies' navigational brand searches and the impact that they can have on customer perceptions. I wanted to give this a good deal of due diligence and a deep dive, so to speak. So J.R. Oakes, a friend of the show and an incredible resource in the SEO world, and a regular contributor to Search Engine Land, actually started to work on a bit of a collaboration with a number of individuals focusing on basically Google selection of people also ask results and a potential impact that it has on brands itself. So people also ask, Morty, what are people also ask results, first and foremost? So
basically, it's a SERP feature that it presents, generally speaking, about four questions about related to the query. So let's say you search for socks, right? So you'll have four questions there. Are socks warm? What are the best socks? Should you buy socks for your wife for a birthday gift? Should you buy socks for your wife for an anniversary gift? And you can open up these expandable tabs.
Right.
And you get answers like feature snippets. So there's a snippet of content and a URL. And as you click on more answers, more questions load. It's dynamically loading. It's an endless series of questions all about what you should or should not buy your wife for your anniversary gift.
And it's also intent-based. It'll actually respond based on the selection that you interact with, because Google's now learning what you're really inquiring about. And that's a very, very important fact right there, is intent. Right? The theory was posited in a tweet a while back. Google's been including more balanced questions into people also ask results. Here's a selection of where he thought they went too far, right? And so with that, he plowed through some data and he started with analyzing, because he wanted to see what's happening across all brands. Is there some researchable aspects of commonality in these people also ask results? So they went through the Fortune 500 list from 2019, of companies. Then they also used ranking data from Nozzle, which makes a daily extraction of PAA results, which is fantastic. A lot of tools don't do that, as well as Baidu's open source sentiment analysis system, Senta, along with and the NLP, Google's NLP language API. So you have these pieces. You got the data from Fortune 500 list in 2019, ranking data for PAA results, Senta to be able to analyze sentiment, and then ultimately the NLP language AIP. All right, so API. So started to deep dive into this. They also, what's really cool about this collaboration, they've made everything visible, everything available. And they centralized everything in a killer data studio. So Jacob, if you could actually throw up the data studio in front for our video audience, that's the really cool dashboard there. Go ahead and bring that full screen if you would. It's got a good level of centralization of data. It also is fully interactive. So you, as you go through different areas, you can select different brands, and based on the interaction, it'll be able to give you what the PAAs are for that. So if you go down to customer or company sentiment, for example, all the way down there, yep. And you select that, then you can actually select, for example, Walmart on the left is one of the largest share of voices. And what's happening there is as soon as you select that, all of a sudden the PAAs from that particular period of time of analysis come up on the right hand side. Morty, can you see that okay?
Yeah.
So a couple of these, for example, for Walmart, right, is Walmart really shutting down? Is Walmart owned by China? Why is Walmart so cheap? Is it safe to order online from Walmart? And how do I order groceries from Walmart? Right.
So that's was his whole thing, right? That he started seeing all these. That's how it got started. Like a few weeks before he even did the study, JR saw, hey, like Google's throwing in these like negative sentiment questions, like
exactly,
is such and such company legit? Is such and such company bad? And it didn't seem to add up. Like, why is that really the most popular question and the most frequently asked question? Or is that the most relevant question to ask about this particular brand? Mm-hmm. Is that they're bad?
Right. So are we making a supposition that is this data accurate? Right. Is this data leaning in a particular manner?
Not the data, but what Google's offering. The data that JR has is awesome.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
is there a particular delivery of this? Are they mining more think about this. Even if there was, if there's no particular biased that's possibly filtering this, is this more consumer engagement type of content? Is this the most highly clickable clickbait PAA, right? As opposed to what really people are saying by inquiring by and large, right?
There's so many questions of this. Like, you can go like all the way from, is this nefarious? Is this Google putting their thumb on the scale?
Right.
To is Google trying, you know, and this is where I sort of lean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist with Google and SEO, although I can definitely see why you would be in this case. Is there an intent issue? Is Google trying to cater to a given intent, or do they think the user wants a certain intent and that's resulting in these sort of like offsetting or off-putting kind of questions being put in that don't really make any sense? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, Google hasn't refined its algorithm here? Right. There's something off in the algorithm that's trying to achieve something? Or you could say, hey, like Google's really is just biased and there's a bias here, which
right.
I understand why you would say that. Even though I don't particularly agree with that.
It's fodder that can certainly lead
it's
you down.
It's not good optics.
No, absolutely
not. It's not a good optic. It's not a good optic at all.
It's not. And along with that, they also analyzed people also asked themes for companies. So they researched, now think about this, they pulled all the PAAs for all these brands. Now they have all the PAAs that are common amongst all brands. So now not dive into that in one of the lion's share of a share of voice, basically, of a sentiment, is the word own.
Right.
Are so many people actually inquiring who owns this company?
So it's an interesting, like, you know, that's really interesting. But by the way, like, you know, let's take, like, they gave an example with CDW.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find that here. Okay, right. So they have the people also ask for CDW, like, what does CDW stand for? Is CDW.com legit? How does CDW make money? Mm-hmm. Does CDW have retail stores? But if you go to Bing,
yep.
And I did this for a bunch of queries. it's a lot more like what you would expect to see. Like, this is Bing's version. Is CDW corporation? Or I mean, I think probably mean like is a corporation. Is CDW rental car? Mm-hmm. What does CDW stand for in insurance? What are some alternatives to CDW?
Right.
It's much more like it kind of makes sense. Like, what are you trying to disambiguate the query?
Right. Well, I mean, you're trying to dig into the entity and trying to show you the dimensions of, because here's the thing, we were talking right before our show here. These were brand queries, not brand plus intent, right? These were just the brand. Shouldn't just the brand actually show just the brand dimensions, not a particular sentiment towards that brand?
That's where I'm 1,000,000% with you. Like, doesn't make any sense. Like, if I'm searching for Microsoft, so what's my intent? I'm trying to understand, like, what is Microsoft? What's relevant to Microsoft? Mm-hmm. Think of it like a knowledge panel, right? You're trying to break down Microsoft with these various questions.
Right.
The four initial questions that you see, like, is Microsoft legit? Is that breaking down the entity? Like, does it really help me understand Microsoft?
No.
Is that really a question? Is Microsoft, is Walmart legit? Is that really a question?
Right, exactly. And coming from a large tech company that is a direct competitor to Microsoft and a direct competitor to Walmart, wouldn't they want to govern that level of immediate sentiment bubbling to the top?
That's third rail material.
It really is.
It is. Like, now what? And if you're like on the side that Google should be regulated, this is just like, you know, it's just like fuel to the fire.
Yeah, it is.
Not a good look.
But here's the deal, is that this article is a great example of level of transparency of data as well. Okay.
Yeah.
And the good use and good visibility of data. So in so many ways, this is just a great way to be able to understand the topography, understand the environment we're in. And we should be able to dive into this and be able to see particular patterns of themes. And especially if you're sharing so many dimensions of a company or of an entity, there should be a level of accountability. Companies, by and large, out of this list, should also know what is being displayed for their people also ask. And even ask the questions to Google, right?
There should be like, look, if you're a company, the first thing I would do after listening to this podcast is wait till the podcast is over and then go to Google and see what they're showing there.
Yeah, exactly.
And are you legit? That sucks. I mean, by the way, that's hilarious, right? Because Google will show the knowledge panel. Mm-hmm. They'll show like the stock ticker and the stock information. And then like one of the top questions is the company legit? Like, doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not.
And there's nothing you can do about that. It's not like it's a result. It's like a brand SERP. Like, you have an organic result that's, you know, big, you know, crapping all over you. There's things you can do. You get your Twitter box there and you try to push that result down. You put out a blog post trying to push that. There's nothing you can do here.
No.
I want a feedback button on the people also ask.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That would be a great resolution. Be able to give us a little bit of control over the brands, a little bit of control over how this is being interpreted. Because otherwise, is this mob mentality? Can you also gamify the thing if you actually ask and just do a bulk search query, right?
Is Edge of the Web legit? Is Edge of the Web legit?
Stop it. So, I mean, there's a number of very good points in here, and we're not doing the article justice at all. So we highly recommend you guys diving into this. One of the key things, a couple key nuggets here, 37% of companies that were shown here, actually nearly half the companies, Google infers that there's an interest in who owns the company. And there's so many great just quick takes on what they analyze from this data. It's not only worthwhile, it's also worthwhile as a bookmarkable piece of content that you should guide your SEO by, is referring back to this type of analysis. This is how you do analysis.
Yes,
you actually pull this content in, you do your rank check, you connect to your APIs, and then on top of that, you also collaborate and be able to show with
you
transparency,
show what you did.
Everything you did. So check that that Data Studio dashboard out, because it is too darn cool.
And then check out your brand SERP. Make sure that, you know, because what people are seeing about your brand and how they're being influenced by it.
Yeah, absolutely. And a heck of a shout out to Nozzle to be able to actually scoop those PAAs out as well. So kudos to you, JR. That was a hell of a document to roll out at the end of the year there. That kind of sets up the next year, right? Because there's freaking lawsuits everywhere. Why not just give it a nice nudge into 2021?
It's a good thing Congress is a research engine land, I guess.
They really, really should.
If Congress could read.
There we go. So there's our sentiment for the end of the year. Morty, thank you very much for your contribution. Any final words to send 2020 packing?
Is 2020 legit? That's my top question.
That's awesome. All right. Well, that's for Edge this week and this year. No interview podcast this week. We're going to take a hiatus on the flip side with news as well, each and every Tuesday dropping. So check that out. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Sam Tomlinson as well as Dan Sharp from Screaming Frog. So that's going to be a great show. Be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the YouTube channel, as well as give us a review online, if you would, over at iTunes, because that's how we optimize on our side of the fence. From all of us over at Edge, thanks so much for listening to our show 2020. We certainly are going to gear into our ninth year in 2021 and beyond. So, Morty, going to stay over and join us into next year?
I'm here.
All right.
Hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm in lockdown.
Yeah. So we've got a captive audience. All right. So from all of us over at Edge, stay safe, stay well, and do not be a piece of cyber driftwood. We'll see you next year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.